Welcome to Drink Champs, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio.
And it's Drink Champs motherfucking podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, say greetings, it's your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Champs motherfucking podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it good be, homies, what it should be, it's your boy N.O.R.E.
What's going on, it's DJ EFN.
And this is Military Crazy Wall, Drink Champs, Yappy Hour,
make some noise!
First of all, I'm going to be honest. So what is your shot of choice? What is your shot?
I'm staying on the same zone.
Stay this, man.
You can't, there's no shot of Ace of Spades, my brother.
It's still alcohol, man.
I got one tonight too. I'm filming them. Come on. This is a great game, though. You can't. This is a very important night. Yes, for me too. I don't do this. Like, you got me on my regimen. I know, but I can't. We're not gonna let Drink Champs fuck up versus tonight, bro. No, we're not fucking it up. We enhancing versus. This is what I'm doing. I'm not gonna mix. Ace, I am. Look what I'm doing, dude. Look, you gonna make us take a shot for you?
I'm gonna take a shot of this.
You can't, all right, take a shot of Ace.
I'll take a sweet. Like that.
We'll take a shot. Okay, you gonna keep it with that? All right, cool. All right, so listen.
I took my shot.
All right, it's one or the other, or if you pick both, you gotta take a shot. Y'all guys are wimping out, but it's okay. In case y'all don't know, our show is about giving people flowers. I didn't make up the statement, but I made it famous.
I remember that.
Yes, we are the people who say, we're giving people your flowers. I don't want you to have to pass away or you have to anything or this. We're going to tell you this while you're alive, while you're here. God damn it, we appreciate it. You fucking held me and my whole household down. I got five TVs and all five of them. What's
up? But hold on. I just want to say, if there's a Nobel Peace Prize committee listening.
Yes.
No bullshit.
No bullshit.
You guys deserve it, and D-Nice deserves it, because we know a lot of people committed suicide during the quarantines and all that stuff. Stuff like what you guys were doing probably saved a lot of lives.
Yo, listen, I'm not even talking about the
artist side of it.
Regular people.
Revitalizing careers.
Did you understand? I'm sorry to cut you off. Did you understand that I got dipped to stay in my house? You want me to say that again? I got fresh.
Oh, yeah.
He went to the club in the next room in his
house. I'm like, yo, nigga, Versus is on tonight.
The bouncer almost didn't let you in.
I was the bouncer.
Me and my wife was doing the same thing.
Man, get dressed.
You knew it.
I didn't care if niggas see me or not. I got fresh, nigga. I was on Amazon.com. People see me all that, y'all. You know what I mean? Like, y'all held it down. Like, y'all really deserve your roses. Y'all really deserve your flowers. That was a great moment in hip hop, and it was from two brothers.
It's still a moment. We're gonna set that thing on fire tonight.
It's still a moment.
And that's the only, like I said, that's the only downfall, because I feel like Timbaland is bringing Missy out tonight. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Is that happening?
I'm gonna tell you straight up, no.
No.
That's a lie.
I'm gonna take a shot for me making this up. I'm gonna take a shot. I just made that up.
That's a good makeup. I wish.
Genuine coming up?
I don't feel like you're gonna tell us right now, man.
No, I will tell you shit.
I don't feel we need nobody.
It's not gonna come out.
I was gonna say,
I feel like, you know.
I ain't gonna lie. Buster gonna bully one of y'all stages. Let's just be clear.
You need to come out on stage.
Nah, I don't perform no more, man. Come on, man!
Who's the illest person that told you there was a fan of you that you was like, wow?
Illest person is Sonny. All right, so this is a dope story, right? So my first album's not even out yet. And we in an airport. It's me and a couple of my niggas. And Lawrence Fishburne walked past. Just randomly, like, we like, oh shit, fucking Lawrence Fishburne. We don't have no album, so we like bugging to see Lawrence Fishburne. He's like, yo, man, we love Lawrence Fishburne, no homo. So Jim is sitting there. Jim is like, yo, I was in Toys R Us. And if you call him Larry, he loses his mind. He don't like to be called Larry. So my man is an asshole. He died. My man Fat Sean, God bless the day. He like, yo, Larry. Just, yeah. He looked, be like, he looked, he's like, yo, I said, what's up, Larry?
Oh, shit.
So Lawrence Fishburne stops and walks over and says, would you just call me?
Is that the airport?
Yes, okay. It's in the airport. He's like, would you call me? He's like, I said, what's up, Larry? What's happening? So we like, yo, we fans, this, that, and the third. He tuning us out. He like, yo, why you calling me Larry? He said, because that's your name. He said, my name is Lawrence. He said, oh, your name is Larry.
Oh, Larry's, oh, now I get it. All right,
okay. Look, let me tell you this. This story's so wild, I had to do research on it. His name was Larry when he was young, but then after higher learning, he changed it to Lawrence.
Oh.
I guess Larry is wild and niggery, and then he did higher learning, and you know what I'm saying? He want to be like proper black, the Matrix, and all this shit. So anyway, he like, man, fuck you. He told my man that. We like, yo, don't listen to him, man. You know, Jim had just did a scene on New York Undercover as an extra.
Oh, yeah. He did active lessons, as we should say.
Jim was like an extra on New York Undercover. Like I said, I ain't have no album out. He's promoting shit. So he walks off. Be like, yo, why you do that, Sean? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, man, fuck that. Nigga name is Larry. So we chilling like 10 minutes later. This nigga come back and sit next to us. Be like, yo, man, don't worry about him. He over here, my man Sean over there. Be like, yo, man, we fans, Jim, like, I'm like, yo, my man was just on New York Undercover. If you could help us out with the little acting shit, you know, we need a little gig and all that shit. He like, I'm not helping y'all. Be like, what's wrong, man? He like, you with somebody who keep calling me Larry. My man leaned over and said, your name is Larry and don't ask me again. Lawrence Fishburne get up, get out, take his wallet out, put it in my man's face. What does that say? My man is like, I don't care what it say. Your name's Larry. So we like, yo, fuck him, man. I'm about to be a rapper, you know what I'm saying? This nigga, my man's acting, this, that, and the third. Yo, so the Lawrence Fishburne wilds out, he says, yo, stop asking me for help, man. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that, I'm not helping y'all. This nigga gotta understand. So now Jim is basically begging Lawrence Fishburne. Now I'm like, hey, yo, fuck you, Larry. You know, suck my dick. Get the fuck out of here. Yo, nigga, they suck. Nigga, they kissing your ass. Man, fuck you. As a matter of fact, I'm about to swing on you. So Larry Fishburne, like, he backed up. This nigga pulled some gloves out of his pocket and put on his gloves. So I'm like, I looked at my man T. I'm like, we about to jump this nigga. You know what I'm saying? So he just looked and walked off. Like the like a movie, like just walked off into the shit. And I'm like, my man Sean, like, you an asshole. I said, I got tired of kissing his ass. He's like, nah, he was on the verge of snuffing me, man. I was gonna fall out, get all the money and all that shit, man. You fucked up everything, bro. I said, I can't take it no more. Anyway, fast forward to answer your question.
That was a great story.
My man is driving my pink Range Rover one day in Harlem.
Like stunt. I like the stunt.
So,
Lawrence,
Larry, whatever, pull up on the nigga. He's like, yo, that camera on pink Range Rover? He's like, yeah, that's my man. He said, yo, tell that guy I love his music, man. I'm a big fucking fan of Cameron, man. You let him know that. And I'm like, Lawrence don't even know that was us in the airport like fucking 6 years ago that you was going crazy because nigga called you Larry.
What?
Now you're a fan of my music, my nigga. Look at that, my nigga. So that's an ill person who I would say is a fan who basically shitted on us and told us to fucking kick rocks and get the fuck out of here because my man was going crazy on us.
Let's make some noise for that, goddamn.
What's the nigga's name now?
Lawrence, I'm scared now. I don't even
want to. Don't call him Larry. You get mad.
We just call him Larry all over the show.
Yeah, you get mad. He don't like Larry. He want to be Lawrence. So.
Yeah, so going back to the verses, it was a collective decision. You know, although I called Tim with the vibe of what we should do, because the deal that we had on the table was amazing. The deal, it was amazing. And we didn't have to move no luggage out the house. But imagine having, like, one of the biggest deals ever and not being happy about it.
Can I stop you for 1 second? Because everyone kind of thought when we started to see Apple TV pop up that that's where y'all was doing the deal. So what happened there? If you can say, we would love to hear it.
It's just business. It's not nothing personal. It's just business. You know, shout out to Apple. Shout out to Larry Jackson. We had a great time.
Larry Jackson,
they you know, they supported us and helped us elevate to a different level.
Right.
And we appreciate all the support from everyone. But, we can't just only be creatives. We have to be business people. Like, this is the music business,
right?
The creative business. And a lot of people leave out the business parts when all the business people are taking advantage of the creative
parts. Yeah, the ownership part.
You see what I'm saying? Right. And so, you know, I was luckily to be able to go back to school and sharpen my pencil and actually really lock in and have a focus with strategies. And although me and Tim didn't start versus thinking about business, or thinking about finances, it just happened to turn into that.
Which is why it was so beautiful and evolved.
It just happened, you know, the universe just happened to want to just do extra things for us. But we was just basically having fun. But when it started coming to the business, we had to be sharp as well.
Because people started coming to you with business. It wasn't like you planned that. Yeah. People started coming to you because of the numbers just growing.
Yeah, we turned down so much. Yeah. We turned down so much. And
Spotify came at y'all first.
Everybody. We turned down everything. The reason why we turned down everything was because, you know, everybody wanted to go to the penthouse, like, first. They just wanted to just go to the penthouse.
Right.
They didn't even want to know the structure of the building. They just knew it was a quick ride to the penthouse, a quick ride with our culture, quick ride in the VIP with our culture, and we're gatekeepers of our culture, so we can't allow that.
Right.
You understand? So when it came to making this decision, I was like, man, and me and Tim had a conversation. I was like, yo, I always see like one or two of us getting the bags and being a part of the big picture. But it's a group of us that make these apps work and that make these different things
work. Giving the value, right.
No, for giving it the value. So my thing is like, imagine if we could bring 43 artists with us to go ring the bell and go public. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like this when Trilla go public, this would be the biggest creative public offering in the history ever, ever, ever. And even the artists that we gave our personal shares to, they don't even probably understand what it's going to be yet.
Right.
But we have good intentions, and it was like, yo, these people started and they showed up with us, and they should go all the way to ringing that bell and going public with us. And it's just what we're supposed to do. We should get people used to taking care of 43 and 50 artists at a time.
Real quick, because people don't know probably what you're talking about, that you gave shares, your personal shares, to the folks that had already done
Versus
up to that point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you can...
Which is unheard of. Nobody's doing deals like that.
Mm-mm. No, because, you know, every artist was compensated in some type of way for doing Versus.
Right.
Whether it's rock or...
Just whatever. We let them keep everything. We took nothing from the artists. Like, when they get a sponsor, they keep the money. When they get bringing sponsors or whatever, and you see a lot of things on stage, it's because me and Tim agreed to let the artists eat and do what they need to do. Tours are not happening. Different things are not happening. You know, and they're coming out in a hard time of COVID. Of course you can bring a sponsor. Of course you can keep all of your sponsor money. We're not taxing you on nothing. And then we come back around and be like, yo, guess what? On behalf of Tim and Swiss, not only are you a partners in Versus, you're owner in Trilla, which is a billion point something value company.
Wow.
You understand? That's today. That's not even with the IPO
in
the 10, 20X.
Going public, right.
On top of that.
And then going public, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But that'll all make sense later.
Oh, God damn it. Let's see, make some noise for that. Yeah. Tim, I'm going to be honest. I think you need another shot.
No, I don't.
I'm fucking with you, man. I'm fucking with you, man.
So now let me fast forward. Boom. You work with Nas, you do this. Nas and Jay actually have this moment against each other. then Jay uses you as a punchline. He says, I know who I pay, God. Searchlight Publishing.
Yeah, he said, but you weren't getting paid, dog. You were getting fucked then. I know who I paid, dog, Searchlight Publishing. So the story, the true story about that, it's really crazy.
Because I don't know.
No, this is a great story.
Yeah.
So I'm the head of CHR at Def Jam, and they're about to put out Reasonable Doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And Kareem, I think it was Kareem. It was either Kareem, Dame, and Jay, or Dame and Jay, come to my office and said, hey, we got to clear this sample, this Dead President sample. Take care of us. I said, okay, no problem. Give me like 2,500, but just know we're going to have 25% of your record on the publishing.
Mm.
And he was like, all right, cool. And that was it. He gave me a check for 2,500. I delivered it to Zamba. But if you look at the liner notes on Dead Presidents, Nas is one of the publishers. So I say, yeah, that line can live as much as it lives, but Jay don't own a piece of Nas's catalog, but Nas owns a piece of Jay's catalog. And that's a fact, though.
We didn't know that. Because we thought, like, when he said that, Searchlight Publishing, that that he was meaning that Nas didn't have none of his publishing.
Oh, yeah, no.
Nas publishing.
No.
Yeah. But that's what he was insinuating.
I have a 5%. Right. Yeah, I have a 5% admin fee, which, to this day, on those two albums, I just make sure, like, things, like, if Nas wants to do it, I just sign off. Right. That's it. Like, for me, like, when I think about being a production company, right, I think there's two trains of thought. Train one is the artist ain't shit and the production company makes all the money, right? Or the second train is the artist ain't shit and I'm going to figure out how to jerk the artist.
Right.
That's most of how hip-hop has run their production companies.
Right.
I had a third train of thought, which was I wasn't going to be the Jew to take advantage of a black man.
Right.
So I don't need to get wealthy off Nas, and I don't. My checks are very humble, and I'm okay with that because they're going to go for the rest of my life.
Right.
You know, when you think about streaming today, right? And you think about Illmatic. Illmatic streams 400 million a year to this day. I get my fair share. I don't get more than I deserve. I don't get less than I deserve. I get exactly what the contract says. In fact, and I'll keep it a buck with all of y'all, 2007... I get a letter from Sony. They say, oh, we overpaid you. So you're not going to be getting a check.
Mm.
And my lawyer goes, oh, we're going to sue. And I said, we're not going to sue. Let it rock. We'll recoup. Eventually, we'll recoup. And we did. It took like 10 years. Because I don't give a fuck.
What was the basis of them saying they overpaid
they
you?
They said that the artist royalty that I got paid was congruent with what Nas was supposed to get paid. So I essentially got Nas royalties, but Nas didn't, it wasn't minus off Nas's share. Right. They basically paid like, it was like double dipping.
Right.
So they paid me exactly what they were paying Nas. But it wasn't accurate either, because the fact of the matter is, Nas was at like X amount of points and I was at 3. So that was the only correction we told them. And after they made that correction, they fixed it, we kept it moving. It was done, one and done. But it took like 10 years for me to ever see another check. And again, I'm okay with that because to me, the ability to earn isn't about one thing, right? I learned a long time ago, it's not the strong who survives, it's the flexible,
right?
So I would much rather fight Mike Tyson than a yogi. Because a yogi is going to bend me up in fucking ways that I'm never going to get fixed again. At least with Mike, I know when it's coming. I see the punch coming. I know I'm going to get hurt.
A yogi? Well, I don't know what that
like
is.
Like yoga, like a yoga person. A yogi.
A guy who's like can bend and because if he...
Oh,
like,
I hear what you're
like, saying. Yo, if he fucking grabs you, like if a yogi grabs you, bro, and he starts, he knows how to bend your body. Yo, you might be fucked up for life. At least if Mike hits you, you're going to be in pain.
Right.
Let's be real clear. You're going to be in pain, but you're going to be able to recover. But if a yogi bends you in a way, your body might never recover. So I say I would much rather be flexible. I'd much rather be like water than be like a fucking wall.
But did you receive like slack because of that? Because a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people took it as Search owned Nas publishing.
No, in fact, it was the exact opposite. Whenever that fucking verse came on in the club, I would get love, like because my name got mentioned. People didn't even realize what it meant. What? They were like, oh shit, not Jay mentioned Search. That's fucking crazy.
So you sure you never got nothing bad, like even from like Nas camp or something?
No, Nas and I get, it's all love all the time.
Okay, that's beautiful.
You know, even like if you think about all the times Nas has mentioned me on his records, right. There's like 7 records where he mentions like our friendship or right. how I did him right. Right. You know what I mean? Like he's never once said anything bad about me because he has no reason, because I treated him like a grown ass man. I treated him like a professional and right. I treated his music like a business.
Right.
So that he would never have to worry. And his daughter would never have to worry. His daughter and my daughter, same age. They were born a month apart. His daughter and my daughter never have to worry.
God damn it, make some noise for that. Okay, so now, you're dominated. This guy is on the other side of the world. You guys are connected. And you see the previous of what he's capable of. I'm not sure if he's on a downfall at this time. I'm sure you could probably...
You're talking Tyson?
Tyson, yeah.
Tyson's coming out of incarceration.
Incarceration.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
But he's a monster.
Oh, yeah.
This press conference happens. And in the documentary, you say, I'm not backing down.
Yeah, all right, so in that situation, it's a situation of like, all right, we all know about Tyson. Right. Nobody knows about me.
Right.
So I'm like,
I do gotta make some noise. Go ahead.
And you know, in my culture, it's like, you know, we say the dog that barks the loudest has no teeth. So it was a situation where, like, yo.
This is the first time it felt like he was deliberately trying to intimidate
yeah.
you.
Yeah, he's bad. He's a bad guy.
Right.
In the sense of, like, he can intimidate people. He's intimidated a lot of people. But he don't know who he's intimidating. Right. He's intimidating a badder guy.
Right.
I'm a bad man in that sense. Oof. I don't take that. Right. So,
Bad man, don't put it on no makeup.
Respect.
Yeah.
This is the
Eat
Your Children time, right?
Yeah, Lo-Shan woman,
you know,
Lo-Shan man.
Boom, the Lo-Shan man.
So he knew, well, I knew what he was about, but he didn't know what I was about.
Right.
You don't know where I'm coming from, nothing about me. It's like that Riddick Bowe situation where like, yo, he said this about me? Okay, cool. All right. He's going to see. So mentally, I was prepared for that. I was prepared for that fight. I was looking for that fight. And I knew that he didn't know me. And mentally, I'm really strong-minded.
Are you holding on to what happened as y'all as children? Or are you saying, nah, you know what? That was us as children?
I didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't know why he was being like this, because we knew each other as... When I went up to the Catskill, we were friends. Right. You know,
he says that. Like,
yeah.
Afterwards, he says that. And he says he's only promoting the fight. But as a fan, I didn't take it like that. I didn't take it like he was only promoting the fight. I took it like, what the fuck is these two grown men? You know, this is me as a fan. This is I have no ties to anybody at this time, at least. So go ahead, continue.
Let me tell you, what a lot of people don't realize and don't remember, don't know, is the fact that the promoter wanted that to be an American-British thing.
Ooh, like West Coast, East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, but it was more American and the British are coming, type
like
of thing.
Like a British invasion. Yeah.
So we said, no, it can't be. We don't want that type of mess. That's too messy. Right. It's not even true, but it's
right, that's
messy.
Some wrestling shit.
Yeah. So, you know, it was more just... you know, me trying to get the heavyweight championship of the world, Tyson trying to legends meeting.
Now, there comes a time in Summer Jam history where you fucked Summer Jam up. Let's just throw it out there. Is it time for me to pop a bottle? Which one you want me to?
Let me hear where it goes first, and then we'll.
Okay, no. But
we pop an ace.
Yeah, we pop an ace of spades. You know, you got to prove. Listen, I didn't think you were going to prove.
Listen.
I didn't think you was going to get it. A lot of artists don't get approved, man. Be Moet on this table, man.
I appreciate
man.
That.
So I have to make a phone call. And okay. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I'll pop some
So which one
this.
You want? The gold.
The gold?
The gold? Oh, okay.
Come on.
But you know, this is more expensive. This
oh,
is the rose.
Pink.
Okay, yeah, let's go to the pink.
Why are you going to ask him and then go with this one?
No, because I don't want him to feel jerked. Like when people see him, they're like, why did he pick the gold? He didn't know the pink. So I want. So you still want to go pink?
I only drink that one.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. This 500 is 250. Okay, so
Summer Jam 2012.
Summer Jam 2012, right?
So you fucked this up. This was
yeah, in my opinion, because in my opinion, this is just my humble opinion. I consider you my friend, so I would have told you this off the side. What it was the timing.
Timing.
It wasn't what you said.
No.
It was the timing of what you said
and
what
place.
You said and place and how you said it and the fact is this is your headliner.
Correct.
This is a female.
Oh, this is a Nicki Minaj situation.
Yes, this is a female who automatically, I don't want to say just sensitive because she's a female, but in this situation, she's a queen of New York. This is New York number one station, and you get on, what was it? Was it the afternoon?
No, it was the festival stage. So it was Kendrick was about to come out on the festival stage.
And you bigged up Kendrick.
So as part of my way of hyping the crowd for Kendrick, you know I'm a wrestling fan.
Yes.
It's all about
we get
theatrics.
It's all about it's in wrestling we call it cheap heat, which by the way is the name of my podcast. Subscribe everywhere. Cheap heat means
cheap heat?
Cheap
like
heat.
Oh, cheap heat.
I
thought you meant like Chia Pet.
No.
I'm about to say, you bringing back Chia Pets? Let's go, Roseburg, bring back Chia Pets, goddamn.
So cheap heat means in wrestling, if you want to get the crowd hot at you, that's called heat, right? So bad guys want to get heat. The cheapest way to get heat is to get out in the crowd and say, the bad guy comes out in Miami and goes, I can't stand Miami.
Yeah,
I'm from New York, whatever.
Right.
And if you want a cheap pop, the way you come out is you're like, it's so great to be here in Miami. These are cheap heats, cheap heat and cheap pops. Uh-huh. I was doing both. I was really going for a cheap pop because I know that the crowd that's there to see Kendrick, when I say fuck Starships, I know the crowd is going to cheer for that.
Yes.
So it's
we're going to cheer for
cheers.
You right now.
Cheers. Thank you for me fucking up.
Popping bottles on the side, goddamn it.
Cheers.
Go ahead. But by the way, I don't think we got cheap heat in hip hop.
I'm sure there is.
I don't think we do.
Well, maybe not. You're right. I mean, it ended up being expensive, I'm sure.
Okay.
So I tried to pop the crowd by saying, now listen, the truth is, I had already been on the radio dissing Starships at that point for months.
Right. And you got to realize, us as artists, right? When we have a relationship with you guys, when you diss the record, we don't feel like you're dissing the record. We feel like you're dissing us.
And I had no relationship
taking
with
it personal.
Well,
so it's even worse in some ways because I had at that time I didn't know Nicki at all.
But Ebro knew Nicki and
remember
you're guilty by association.
Well, then but remember Nicki's not even really in New York that much of that time, right? She's moving around, she's blowing up,
but she's still the queen of New York,
and she's hearing it from people though. That's what's even worse about
third
radio.
Party. Okay,
yes.
Third party. Okay,
people go. So I make a joke, right? Like I used to tease Nicki.
I don't know if you sipped that, but when we cheers, you got to sip it. Okay, all right, cool.
I'm not an animal.
All right, cool.
So Nicki. At that time, what she would do, like, sort of her voices she would go into, like on Monster. Mm. Sypha and I, when we do the show, we would sort of, like, tease that. But not like we were shitting on it. We
you
were
would
just,
mimic these voices?
Yeah. But it really wasn't shitting on it. Like, we thought she was dope.
Right.
But when her friend, when people hear it, and are like, yo, the fucking
Safari came up to her. And was
people
like,
are telling her, people talk shit. So she already wasn't fucking with us.
Right.
And then I diss Starships, and I'm like, what is this record, blah, blah, blah. And
let's
say,
be clear, this 2012, so people wasn't going live. So this is not like she could have went and look at someone's Instagram. So people weren't going live.
No, they're hearing. It's still word of mouth.
It's still hearsay. Okay.
Unless it was a clip we put up.
Right.
She wasn't going to hear it. So, and I didn't like Starships. And I stand by that. I think history kind of proved me right on, I mean, even though she made a boatload of money on it, did really well.
Right.
It wasn't a record that I liked. Now, I admit, I did not at the time think of sort of the implications, me being a man, being a white man who she doesn't know and wasn't even all that established yet, shitting on, her record. I now realize sort of the privilege that was built into that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I'm just repping for it. To me, it's hip hop all day.
Right.
And while I'm regretful about some of those situations, let's be honest.
Right.
If I wasn't the kind of person who said shit like that, I wouldn't ever be here right now.
Right.
If you don't have enough swagger and stupid, ill-advised confidence to talk shit, you're not interesting. And I had to show, listen, all the rappers who wanted to fuck me up in the first few years, most of which I'm close with now, present company included,
wait, I don't remember.
It it all came from a place of like, I just had stupid confidence that I deserve to be here and should have the conversation.
Right.
In retrospect, I could see how now that would be considered problematic.
Right.
But at the time, I was just a guy who was like, I'm trying to get on, I've studied the game, and I'm going to give my opinions. And that's what Ebro wanted me to do. So I was just doing what I thought I was supposed to do.
But let's just be clear. All right, cool. Let's take away the fact that she's a girl. Let's take away the fact that she's the queen of NY, right? Let's take away the fact for that right now. Just the fact that it was the headliner.
Yes, that's the stupid part.
Yeah, that,
and it was streaming on her website.
Oh, wait a minute. What? So she was streaming like... Because
on her website, so her they had the so live... Bob, all yeah. the barbs saw it. So the next thing I know, I'm on the side of the stage.
And the barbs are throwing...
Ebro comes up to me where the show's about to start. Ebro's like, yo, do you say something about Nikki on the festival stage? And I swear to God, I was like... No. I didn't remember. I was like... Oh, yeah, I did. I talked shit about Starships. He was like, yeah, she pulled out of the show.
Oof.
And I was like, the next second I go on my phone, I open up Twitter, I just see trending, Peter Rosenberg. I was like, well, this is not good.
Right.
She's not doing the show. And so the first thing I'm worried about, naturally, is my job.
Right.
You know, I've only been there a few years at that point, and I'm like,
right.
I just cost us Nicki Minaj at Summer Jam.
Right.
That was fucking stupid. And you're right, the time and place was
right.
ridiculous.
Right.
And I just wasn't being thoughtful. It was just fucking stupid.
Poor judgment
now,
on your part.
Could you have rectified that situation? Had you apologized right then and there? Or that was not
probably
the case?
Too late
no
at that
one,
moment.
No one even considered that. Okay. You know, and this is where Hot... You know, listen, Ebro and Flex both do... Neither has a small ego either.
Right.
So while I'm sure they might have been upset with me on some level, though neither ever said they were upset with me, they both just went the other way.
It's like it's like the brothers in blue. Like
they said, well, let's not do any cop shit with me. No, it was like the brothers in Hot 97.
How about just pounding the situation?
Cold blue.
How about just the Hot 97 show?
Yeah, okay,
anyways,
okay.
Yeah, no, I think they went with like, oh, they're pulling out. Fuck that.
Right.
We're Hot 97. No one's pulling out on our shit.
Right.
It's Summer Jam.
Right.
So they took that approach of defending me. And then, of course, it got messy because all Young Money pulled out.
Wow.
You know,
Busta
was not happy with me.
Wow.
You know, who I do have a great relationship with, and he was not happy. That was one of the many times I've been...
Oh, Busta was on Cash Money at the time.
Yes.
He was coming out. Okay.
And guess who else was? Khaled.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not happy. So, you know, people weren't happy. But at the same time, everyone was cool in the long run. You know, it took some time with Nikki to smooth things over.
Because you did eventually apologize to her, correct?
I did. And she did. I watched the video again recently. She definitely sunned the living shit out of me
on
camera.
Let's describe the situation. Let's take a step.
A year later, before Summer Jam, Ebro sets up this whole thing for me to go come face-to-face with her.
Okay.
First of all, Ebro had to be there, which is, I don't know if she was doing what
I'm
not
gonna lie. I think Nikki might have fucked you up. I'm just throwing it out there.
But you're right. You know what? It probably helped.
I'm just throwing it out there. Okay.
So,
I might have put my money on Nikki.
I just sat there one-on-one with her, and she just sort of...
Were you intimidated? Nikki seems a little intimidating.
She is. Nikki is super intimidating.
Okay.
And in that moment, I was shook.
Uh-huh.
And I took my lumps and said, I'm sorry. And she said, you're not smart. You're not funny. You're this, you're that. And honestly, not all that's true.
Right.
I am rather smart and funny. But it's okay. I understand why you're not feeling me.
Pick and choose your battles.
I apologized. And
this is at the station? Okay.
And then the truth is, though, I don't talk to Nikki anymore. Truth is, we had a period after that, over a couple of years, where we were actually pretty cool.
Right.
Like, we would actually text and talk about music, and I would
give... You heard them text.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
You
those numbers are coming up green.
You flossed on us. Make some noise.
I once texted with Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
No, that shit comes up green now. But,
right.
No, we had a period where we were cool. And, like, even the next year at Summer Jam, like, we talked on stage. And I don't know. I actually felt... The same, you know, when you beef with people or have a feud with someone,
right.
Once you make up, there is some sort of odd kinship that
right.
exists.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying Nikki likes me. I don't know how Nikki feels about me at all. But I know that at that time, I definitely felt some level of closeness.
Right.
You went through some shit and you got through it.
And we both, and by the way, for the record, as mad as she was at me, after that whole shit, her next album was her most hip hop and most successful. She bodied her next album.
What was the next album? I forgot the name.
I think the next one was Pink Friday?
Okay.
Or was it Pink Print?
I love how you grabbed
the
phone. Instead of thinking how we used to do
back
in the days.
By the way, it's so fucked up. It's so fucked up that you are literally correct. That is what I do now.
you literally
well, she had all the albums at this point.
Yeah.
So you're taking credit for that. Next album.
Yo, you're a good radio host.
No, we're not radio.
It was. Pink Friday, Roman Reloaded might have been the one with Starships on it. So it would have been the next one in 2014.
Okay.
Which was The Pink Print.
Okay.
No, I'm not taking credit. Right. Nice try, EFN. You've really developed into quite the host. However, I do think that that situation maybe impacted her on to some level, and she was like, yo, I need to do this hip-hop shit. And let's be honest.
Maybe even subconsciously.
Nikki with Bar. We all want Nikki rapping.
I imagine growing up, being from, although you're from Harlem, being from New York City, you had to be fans of Jay and Nas. But at one point, you was at odds with Jay and Nas.
Right.
Which one you want to talk about first, if you
want? It don't matter either or.
So, all right, let's say Jay, for instance, because you were at Rockefeller.
Right.
And this is you leaving Rockefeller or exiting Rockefeller, these records that pop up?
Nah, well, what happened was, I believe, Dame was going to make me the president of Rockefeller.
That was his office. Was that to do with this office you was talking about earlier?
No, we just housed the office.
He housed the office. That was a closet.
Okay, that wasn't the same time that you was the president?
It never really came to fruition, me being a president.
You being the actual president. Okay.
He wanted to make me a president.
Okay.
And I don't think he talked to Jay about that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I so bust it, and me and Jay Cool, we was just on a Zoom call like a week ago. So this just stories. Me and Jay ain't got no problems. Shit. We are super cool. Yeah. So
Jay, he said this rosé too, by the way. For you,
I'm gonna take it with me.
No problem.
So
give you the cold one too. No problem.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So basically, when I got to Rockefeller, you know, I tried to ingratiate myself with everybody.
That's a big word. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I'm trying to be cool with everybody. Okay, I'm trying to say, they already have something going, and I know.
Ingratiate.
So I'm
going to look that up later.
Yeah, ingratiate. So I'm just trying to
be cool. Fast-tracking your situation.
I'm trying to be cool with everybody, because y'all got your own thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to come in here and seem like I'm stepping on toes or whatever. So I'm cool with everybody, you know. Hey, this, that, and the third. And, you know, Jay's a competitor. You know what I'm saying? So me coming there, I don't know, this was Dame's situation. This ain't something that he did. So, you know, first thing that happened, I brought K-Slay up there. And I guess I didn't know he was mad at K-Slay, because K-Slay must have played Ether at the time, and he was mad at Nas for Ether and all this
other shit. Never heard this story, Ken.
Yeah, I'm telling you what happened. You ask K-Slay, so.
I've never heard this story, Ken. Wait a minute.
What?
So you saying, run K-Slay up to baseline?
Yeah.
Okay, and this is after K-Slay, he definitely voted for Nas Ether. I remember this. Continue.
Yeah, so I brought him up there because, you know, we using K-Slay to host our mixtape. So K came up there, boom. Jay wasn't there. But as I'm leaving, Jay is in the lobby of baseline. So I walk K to the elevator, and I guess they said, K and Jay-Z said, what's up, whatever. So I walk back in, he say, yo, you gotta be careful who you bringing around here. We might have just slapped the shit out of K-Slay. And I'm like, wait, what's going on, man? You know, I don't even know what's going on. He's like, yo, just saying, be careful who you bring up. All right, cool, this your house. I ain't got no problem with that. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. Cool. We building buzz up. I'm like, yo, Jay in the studio, I'm like, yo, we might wanna hop on this record. We building the buzz, and he'll just look like, okay, that's cute. Like, he didn't say it, but he's like, okay. I'm like, all right, cool. I don't know what's going on, but whatever. So I start heating up, you know what I'm saying? And he like, yo, you could tell some tension. Mm-hmm. So one day I come to the studio, he's like, yo, it seemed like it's some tension in here.
He says that?
Yeah. To me, I'm talking. I don't know if exact words, but he said something going on. I just want to let you know, I see y'all niggas rocking. I ain't got no problem. We all good. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, bet. Just got a song up right now. If the tension is here, let's just do it now.
Right.
And he's like, bet. So we did the song. Boom. So I said, yo, the song heating up, we might could do the video. He like, Said, okay, we back to that. Cool. So that happened. Then back to what we saying about I'm starting to do bus moves or whatever.
Because there was a rumor that there was a Jay-Z verse on Old Boy and you
erased
it.
I'm about to tell you that. So Petey Crack. Nobody's fucking with Petey Crack. State Property, nobody. Petey Crack, I was going to fuck with Petey Crack. Wow. He had the song. One for Petey Crack.
Two.
That was his song by itself. I put me and Juelz on it. Take it to Dame, I'm like, I'm about to fuck with him. He's like, he from Philly, you should fuck with State Property. I'm like, why everything got to be so Philly this, Harlem this,
really?
This,
and the third? I don't think I heard the story, dude. Yeah.
Petey Crack's story.
You don't even need to drink, nigga. Go ahead, keep going.
It's on, it's on Vlad. He told the story on Vlad. But I already knew how it went anyway, but he tells the story. So they in the studio, he said he got this hot song. He, you know, because he wasn't signed to State Property. I was fucking with him. He come to New York or whatever. And I was going to sign him. But Dame was like, you know, I was going to fuck it up for Philly and all this shit. And I'm like...
So Petey was like...
This is a situation where both of y'all is right, by the way.
Yeah.
Dame is right and you were right, too. This is a situation. But continue. So whoa,
yeah, he's on his own. He's not with State Property at
no,
all.
No, but it's seeming like that, but he's not.
Right.
Wow.
So he's like, I'm not signed to them niggas, Cam. So we did the song. So he played... Petey's playing the song for Jay-Z, whoever else in the studio. And like I said, Petey Crack's story is on Vlad. He talks about a couple interviews. I already knew how it went, though, but...
We don't mess with that other outlet.
So yeah, so he's playing the... Sorry about that. Yeah, yeah. So he's... especially that nigga, I apologize. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A couple of videos, he a couple other interviews, he mentioned this. Mm-hmm. So he says he's in the studio playing it, and my verse come on, and Jay say, stop it. Erase that shit. And just erase my whole verse. So... Petey calls me, he like, can't.
I gotta slow you down a little bit. You saying the original one for Petey Crack, you're on there?
Yes.
With Juelz?
Yes.
Petey's in the studio. He actually plays the record.
No, this is what happened. I used to go to Philly, I had a hair salon in Philly. You know what I'm saying? So.
What the fuck is going on?
So one night after I, you know, check on my business in Philly, I go to a club, this DJ Coriot, I think his name was. And I'm like in a hole in the wall, and Petey Crack is performing in this hole in the wall, and that whole club's going crazy. So I went up to him and met him. I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, nah, you know, Beans, this, down and third, and I fuck with everybody. You know, those was his niggas. Mm-hmm. So then a week or two later, I went to, I don't know the time, that we go to Philly radio station. Right. And he's outside the radio station.
Osmond Cab, the Hot Boys?
Yeah, he's outside the radio station. And he like, Killer, what's up, man? I'm like, I thought you fuck with State Property. And he like, Dame ain't signed, Dame is there. He's like, Dame ain't signed me none. I'm like, word? So that record you did still not out? Send it to me. Well, it wasn't sending. Some type of way he gave me a CD I think I had. And I did it. And gave it to him. Used to come to New York. So when I did it, Dame is like, yo, hold on. I said, the man said he not signing y'all. The nobody. Well, you know, we was going to do this and was going to do that. And I'm like, whatever. So then what happened was Dame said, look, I guess Beans and them was like, how Cam, this was Petey Crack telling me, how Cam and them jumping on our record, on the Philly record. And Petey like, I didn't know y'all wanted to do the record. Yeah. So Dame come to me, I guess it was a problem over that or whatever. Dame like, yo, this is what we gonna do. We gonna put State Property on it and keep you on it. We gonna take Juelz off. I'm like, nah, then take me off too. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Why this is such a big deal? Like,
but no, they was gonna take Juelz off and leave you on?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And I'm like, nah, man. I said, well, take me off the record too, man. It ain't no problem, you know what I'm saying? But prior to all this video for that song and everything, Jay-Z heard the verse and just erased my shit. Told Petey Crack erase it, or Shane, whoever was engineering that day. And I'm like, it's wild, bad energy going on, but we don't give a fuck.
But Cam, I gotta ask you, because this is very deep. Everybody's good. We're drinking Ace Spade right now. Everybody's
this
good.
Is all
but this is 100% facts. You know that that happened. You know that.
If you want, we could pause this interview. Pull it up. It's on your phone.
Again, we got people who's paid for that.
Yeah,
let's go. What do they pull up, Cam?
First, you pull up Cameron, Juelz, and Petey Crack.
We should just call Petey.
Okay,
now,
cool.
PD ain't catching him off course for a minute. Yeah. I don't know why he'd be mad at me every other week. It's my nigga. We Nigga Rican, Puerto Rican shit.
Yeah. So,
let me see if
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you put up, pull up.
But I don't want to break. I don't want to.
Yeah, you ain't got to break.
So no, I'm talking about, I want to bring Zeke in, but I don't want to break.
You got it.
I want to keep going.
I'm going to see if I can get him on.
That'd even be even better.
Yeah.
Coming from
that. That's great. I've never heard this story. So, but I'm saying, not the fact that that doesn't exist, but the fact that the person that said that, Jay said, to take their verse off, that's real, 1,000,000%.
I won't be on your show making no shit
no,
up.
No, no, I got it for
yeah,
the fans.
Yeah,
no,
nah, it's not me. Yeah, right. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you got a huge audience. I ain't got time. Right. You know, like I said, Jay may have a different way of going about it, but this is what Petey Crack said. He's like, because he wanted to give me a copy, but I already had a copy. Right. I put it on my mixtape.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Drink Champs, hosted by yours truly, DJ EFN and NORE. Please make sure to follow us on all our socials. That's at Drink Champs across all platforms, at The Real Noriega on IG, at Noriega on Twitter. Mine is at Who's Crazy on IG, at DJ EFN on Twitter. And most importantly, stay up to date with the latest releases, news, and merch by going to drinkchamps.com. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.